From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Tens of thousands of refugees fleeing war and violence from Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and elsewhere are trapped near the Turkish border with Greece after recent changes by President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Turkey's Erdogan recently changed his policy of keeping refugees from heading to Europe. He now faces accusations of using the desperate fleeing mass of people as political pawns, while his own forces are targeted in northern Syria by Russian forces. Erdogan this week heads to Brussels to discuss the refugee crisis with European leaders. Inside Greece, there have been mass protests, especially on the island of Lesbos, against the building of new camps for refugees. And disturbing reports recently emerged of Greek forces stripping male refugees down to their underwear and beating them. We go now to Athens, Greece, where Amy Williams joins us. She's a journalist, filmmaker, and executive director and co-founder of Global Girl Media. Welcome to the program, Amy.
Thank you, Sonali. It's nice to be here.
First, let's start with what exactly has been happening with the Greek forces before we get to the protests inside Greece. I understand that there have been security forces stationed at the border, and we are hearing reports like the disturbing one that I mentioned of some very serious abuses of refugee rights. What have you heard?
Yeah, those reports are confirmed both by citizen journalists, but it's also important to say that this is a very dark hour for Greece, for a country that has been overwhelmed by the refugee crisis since 2015. The Deputy Defense Minister, Stefanis, has called this an undeclared war against Turkey. I mean, against Greece, that Turkey is actually weaponizing refugees and sending them as, you know, sort of using them as bullets. It's a war without bullets. And every day it is escalating. And both sides are, there are security forces on both sides now. And Turkey actually fired some tear gas at Greek security forces. And of course, the people caught in the middle in the kind of no man's land are these refugees.
So there are, from what I understand, 30 to 40,000 people that are trapped in the snowman's land?
Well, it depends on which side you talk to. The Greeks are talking more like 10,000, and Erdogan has actually said that he's counted 135,000 have passed through to the other side of Greece. So it's very difficult to get exact numbers. I will say, though, that in the last few days, things have quieted down a bit, and there haven't been as many people coming or crossing. And it isn't just the border that's been an issue. The islands are also places of violence, and they're referred to as hotspots, specifically the islands of Chios and Lesbos.
So, yeah, those were the islands where I mentioned just days ago, actually, but I believe it was about a week ago, that saw mass protests against these camps that are meant to hold refugees. Why are these two islands on the front lines of the refugee crisis and on the front lines of really Europe where refugees are concerned?
These two islands have traditionally been the first points of entry for the refugee migrant route from Turkey, where they're taking boats from different towns in Turkey. And the camps on Lesbos and Chios were built to house about 2,500 to 3,000. They are now hosting over 40,000. It's a crisis beyond. It's just very difficult to describe the kinds of conditions that recent refugees have had to put up with. The last report I got was from a Greek photojournalist who just returned from the islands. I have to make clear that I have not been to the islands. It's actually quite dangerous for foreign journalists now to cover the crisis in both places. There have been incidents of attacks on foreign journalists that are seen to be sided with the refugees. By Greek citizens. And so I chose not to go. However, my Greek friend, photojournalist Louisa Gouliamaki, told me now the most recent arrivals haven't even been allowed off the beach. That there's a families up to 52 people now just on the beach with nothing. They've had no services, no processing, nothing. I think there's just an enormous amount of dysfunction at the higher levels. And, you know, it's gotten to this crisis point. I think there's a lot of ways to give a kind of a political analysis, but I like to come at it from the perspective of both sides and look at what the Greeks have faced over the last 5 years. You know, the citizens of Lesbos were actually nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. They opened their arms, their hearts, their pocketbooks. They, you know, the whole world welcomed refugees back in 2015, as you can remember. There were many, many volunteers that came. And now the most disturbing reports are that these same people are now turning on the, you know, the most recent wave. They just, you know, the economy, let alone, you know, these tiny islands just can't handle it. And there's been very, very, very little support from the EU.
And so
if there's an official, you know, sort of the Frontex and the work that has been done from the EU side has just been few and far between and very badly managed.
So I understand, from what I understand, poverty within those islands and the lack of support from the central government plays a role. But I also understand that there are extremist right-wing forces that are taking advantage of that, you know, that disillusionment among the population. There are reports of Nazis marching and skewing the politics. You know, this is a very standard thing. And of course, we see this happening here in the U.S. as well, where the refugees or the migrants become scapegoats. Is that happening in Greece?
Absolutely. And actually, a lot of these far right-wing groups are coming from outside of Greece. And they have been deported. And there have been reports of locals actually, you know, confronting them. So there's a famous story of the of a Nazi Germany group that came posed as journalists to get the Greek side of the story. And when they couldn't stir up what they wanted to, they started screaming about the World War II massacre in the Peloponnese. And that created a whole other drama. And then they were actually beaten up by Greeks and sort of chased out of Mytilene. And there's also reports of some Swedish right-wing group that was here. And I will say again, the last 24 hours, things have calmed down a bit. And there was a mass rally, both I attended the one in Athens, a pro-refugee, pro-migrant rally, and in Mytilene. However, the most heart-rending news is the story of the burning of the One Big Happy Family school. This was a peace school that was built about 4.5 years ago, and it was the only place that refugee youth could get an education. They had remote.
And this is on Lesbos?
Right. Besides the attacks on the journalists, there have been attacks on NGOs. They actually beat up the head of the UNHCR. And then right after this rally, this pro-solidarity rally for the refugees and migrants on the island, this happened. And it happened in the dead of night. Thank God nobody was hurt. Nobody was in it. But I'd just like to read to you the post from the people that, you know, thousands of volunteers have gone through this place and their pictures were on the wall thanking them and that's all gone. This was really the heart, kind of the center of hope. This school, and unlike a lot of the more official places where refugees could go to pass their time or to get educated in some way, this one was completely run by volunteers, and it was very, very well run.
And do you know, do you have any sense of who caused this fire and whether this was part of that protest against refugee presence?
It's being investigated. I can't say, there's been no official announcement, but this it just happened less than 24 hours ago. So this is from One Happy Family. This is their collective letter on a site called Are You Serious, which is one of the ones I recommend your listeners to go to for on-the-ground citizen reporting, RUSYRIOUS. And they do a daily newsletter. Not buildings that burned down. It's part of a place of hope and solidarity that were destroyed by this fire. It's with a broken heart that we inform you that the school building burned completely down. The school, which was called the International School of Peace, runs the children's school there, allowing children stuck on Lesbos to have one of their basic rights, education, always with dignity and respect, a basic right that was never given to them in Moira camp. Let me just go a little further. We are still shocked by the pictures. We are amazed by everybody's kind words and messages. But what we really need now is not only your kind words and your financial support. We don't need anger or hate. What we need is political change. The real victims are the people seeking safety in Europe, the people on the Aegean Islands, all the people who are trapped in inhumane and unlawful conditions since years, as well as the locals of the Aegean Islands that are left alone to deal with this crisis on their own. We need all of you to stand up and fight for a humane European asylum system, for freedom of movement for everyone, and for safe passage. We will not let this stop us. One happy family is a place of hope and solidarity. We will continue our work and not let this stop us.
So this, just to remind our audience, if you're just tuning in, my guest Amy Williams joining us from Athens, Greece, reading a letter from the organization running One Happy Family, which is the name of a peace school, as it's called, on the Greek island of Lesbos, that was providing education for refugee children. One of the responses that we're seeing from the EU at large, which has been accused of inaction, is that Germany says the European Union is considering taking 1,500 child refugees who are currently in Greek camps. A statement from the German government said that the 1,500 would be minors under 14 or in need of urgent medical care, and that most would be girls. What do you make of this? I wonder if they're allowing whole families or going to be separating the girls from their families, and what about the boys?
Quite new. This is quite new, but it's really, really needed. There's been a sharp spike in arrivals of unaccompanied minors, those under 18. And actually, it used to be predominantly boys, and now there's a lot more young women coming on their own, and they are the targets. There have been reports by UNICEF and I believe IRC as to the percentage of young women that have been survivors of gender-based violence, and just the lack of even rape kits, counseling.
So you're saying that girls are being raped on the border?
I don't know, you know, what percentage, but what they're talking about is that they are at higher risk, not necessarily just rape, but any act of gender-based violence. And just the lack of services to try to process these young women. And women in general in these camps, they are afraid to go to the toilets at night. They have to pass through a gauntlet of men to get there. There's no lighting. I mean, again, you know, camps that were built for 3,000 to 4,000 are now housing over 40,000. They've spilled outside of the camps. People are living under olive trees, and the weather is, you know, it's the dead of winter here. It's raining. And now, you know, the last wave that Erdogan had urged people to come, they're now not even being allowed off the beach. So you can imagine. But it's great that Europe is starting to talk about focusing on the minors, because these are the most vulnerable.
Elsewhere in Europe, specifically in Italy, the news coming out early this week is, of course, the massive coronavirus quarantine in Italy, where 16 million people are under quarantine. There's also a huge global economic meltdown. At least if you listen to the financial news, it sounds like a full-on Armageddon at the stock market on Monday. Do those factors complicate, you think, this refugee crisis? You have tens of thousands of people whose fault, you know, who are not to blame for either the virus or the economic crisis or the lack of response from the government's long term around the economy and short term around the virus. But I imagine that this will only add to the perfect storm impacting refugees.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime you're stoking any kind of fear, and I think this is a global fear that is having massive repercussions on the most vulnerable. So it's just increasing people's xenophobia, shall we say. And I think that the thing that the refugees are really, really, really worried about in the camps now is if there is a case that gets identified either on the islands or here in Athens, these camps will be, they will be, you know, massacred. There will be open massacre. People will attack the camps out of fear and out of anger. And this is something we're all really, really nervous about.
And of course, the refugees, as far as we know, have played no role in the spread of the coronavirus. In fact, they probably remain vulnerable in catching that virus from local populations, if indeed it does spread in Greece like it has spread in Italy and elsewhere. The virus doesn't discriminate with national origin. What about the Turkish government's response and responsibility, I should say? You mentioned how the Greek islands in particular had been kind of left to their own devices in dealing with the massive refugee crisis. Some would argue that Turkey too has been, left to bear the brunt of the refugee crisis coming out of countries like Syria and Afghanistan.
4 million, you know, they've hosted 4 million since 2015 in Turkey, and the infamous EU-Turkey deal that was signed in 2016 was supposed to alleviate that. They, in exchange for hosting this many refugees, they were supposed to get $7 billion from the EU to build infrastructure. And in exchange for that, there was a certain percentage that were supposed to be sent to Europe. So it was sort of a quid pro quo. One Syrian would go to Europe, and then Greece was supposed to send back those that didn't have very strong asylum applications. And that just never happened. According to Erdogan, he got a fraction of those billions. But according to the EU, again, you know, it's which side that you take and which media you read, I suppose. But, you know, there is a double standard going on here in terms of how quickly the EU came to the aid of Greece to try to deal with this latest incarnation, and how long it's been for them to really deal with that EU-Turkey deal, which everybody has found fault with and just has never really served the needs of both the refugees in the Greek population and the Turkish people. So I heard a waiter yesterday say that, you know, Erdogan's the best president Turkey ever had because he is protecting Turkey. I mean, by sending these refugees and forcing the EU's hand. I mean, in a way, it's a move that's quite strategic, given what the Turkish people have had to deal with. But again, you know, the people that are suffering the most, the ones that are, you know, the fodder for this undeclared war are the most vulnerable. And by no means should they have to be the ones that are bearing the brunt of all this violence, and they are.
Is there any conversation that you can see in the Greek media around the origins of the refugee crisis? You know, why are tens of thousands of people fleeing their countries in the first place? It's similar to the conversation here in the U.S. around Central American refugees and migrants who are fleeing war and violence. That war and violence and the U.S.'s role in it is rarely discussed in the refugee crisis in Europe. Europe bears responsibility for the wars in Syria and Afghanistan. On, but is it even discussed?
Well, it has been, you know, over and over again, and people are tired of the conversation. I think that I just read that 90% of the Greek population supports the Greek government's response these last 2 weeks. And they're very aware of what causes the refugee and migration. And as I said, they welcome these refugees with open arms. And there's many, many, many stories of ordinary Greek people feeding refugees, housing refugees, starting their own nonprofits. I mean, I'm partnering here in Athens with two NGOs that were started by Greek women, you know, from the ground up. I met another man last night who just opened up a shelter for women and children. You know, they have done everything they can, and it's just turned into a situation where it's they just can't do anymore. There isn't any more left. And so, yes, the larger powers that be in Europe and the United States really have to come to the table, and they really have that. I mean, this is what's interesting about this moment in history combined with the virus. I think that, you know, the ugliness and the secrets and the ways in which this crisis were mishandled are now coming to the front. And it's unfortunate that it has to be in a way where so many people are suffering.
Is the Greek... Is the Greek Prime Minister Mitsotakis paying any price, political price, for his action or inaction?
He's actually getting more support.
Hmm.
He's actually getting a lot more support. The general feeling in Greece is that he's doing what's needed.
So, with this meeting that's taking place in Brussels that Erdogan is traveling to, it's not yet clear what will come out of it, what the plans are. But if you were to advise, given that you're paying close attention to what's happening on the ground and you have contacts in Greece, on the islands where the worst of this is playing out, what advice would you give to decision makers in Europe, in Brussels rather, who are meeting right now about this refugee crisis? What needs to be done?
Well, I think they have to be really honest, and they have to listen directly to the people that are living this nightmare. And that's, for me, that voice is always missing. You know, the grassroots voice, the volunteers, the refugees, the people that have been dealing with this crisis from a grassroots level, and they have a firsthand knowledge of what went wrong, and they definitely have ideas on how to fix it. And I think also the mainstream media has to stop fomenting the hatred and stop, you know, showing images of screaming, irate Greek people. You know, there's an image that was played over and over on social media of a boat that whose engine kind of died outside of a port on the outside of the island of Lesbos about 4 days ago. And as it was floating in, there were more people on the shore screaming at them to go back. We're Christians, don't bring your Islam here, this kind of thing. And you know, those reports over and over are usurping the reports that I see and the people that I see that are not saying those things. They're in horror as to what's happened to their country and to the people that they care about that have, you know, that are transiting through their country. And so those sorts of, I mean, that's the kind of journalism I'm doing with Global Girl Media. And I think it's time for us to be very, very honest, very calm, try to take a step back, try to focus on humanity, our shared responsibility, and you know, really, really listen to the directly to the people that are on the front lines.
Well, Amy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out the website for Global Girl Media and your recommendations for where people can get balanced journalism around the refugee crisis.
Again, it's areyouserious, .com, SYRIOUS. You can sign up for their newsletter. There's another one I listen to or I've watched called Keep Talking Greece, all one word, .com. And the Facebook pages, if you just Google Lesbos or Chios, all the local grassroots organizations have updates on their Facebook pages. We have not started our reporting yet. We will in the next month or so. I just arrived back in Athens, and so, but you can watch some of the reports we did last year from the perspective of young women, a few of whom were unaccompanied minors. www.globalgirlmedia.org.
And we'll post a link to that as well as your recommendations on our website. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
My guest has been Amy Williams. She's a journalist, filmmaker, and executive director and co-founder of Global Girl Media, joining us from Athens, Greece. We've been discussing the refugee crisis on the Greek-Turkey border. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and on Spotify.